All right, I think we're ready to go. It's a good way to start things off. Hope you all enjoyed unwrapping your gift as much as you enjoyed wrapping it. More fun wrapping it? All right. Okay, so welcome back for the last edition of the Gift of Shalom. And just to kind of overview real fast, bring us back up to speed of where we've been, right? We talked about the gift initially in that first week, and we said that it's much more than just an absence of conflict. It's got this idea of wholeness, of being restored, of just being complete. Not just, so shalom can exist with us personally, it can exist between us and other people, it can exist in the environments that we're in. It's a state of well-being or the way that things were meant to be, the way that God created things to be. So if you think back to creation, in the very beginning, everything was in a state of shalom and reconciled, right? Brings that same sort of sense to it. So we talked about that as sort of a broader definition of what shalom is, and then we said that it exists or is active in at least three spheres. We talked about peace with God, which is sort of the cornerstone, the most important aspect of shalom, and without which none of the other aspects of shalom are possible, really, is that we have peace with God, and we have peace through God with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. And then we talk about having peace within ourselves, right? The peace of a clear conscience, the peace that comes from a deep abiding trust in God and a confidence in his sovereign goodness and in his love. And then we said that then cascades out around us into our relationships. So being able to have shalom with other people and in the environments that we live in, that we're active in, that all becomes a possibility as these things sort of flow one thing into the other. And then we talked about specifically that first week, shalom in marriage and in conflict in marriage, or really can apply to conflict in any relationship, and how we apply that peace into conflict to diffuse conflict. And then last week we talked about, so how do we receive the gift? Where do we look for it? And we said that in order to receive the gift, it requires first a humble heart, right? That we have to begin from a place of humility, that our heart needs to be in a place where we recognize our inability to achieve shalom without Christ, to achieve it on our own merits. And that is sort of the entryway to receiving the gift of shalom. And that if you want that gift, if you want that gift within yourself, within your relationships, between you and God, then you have to begin with the humble acknowledgement that you don't have what it takes. And then finally, we talked about where do we find the gift. And we said, and I'll put it up here for us, we said that the gift is found in God's presence. So the God's presence is the present. It is, that is sort of the essence of shalom, is being in God's presence, which can only be accessed through Christ, who's revealed in God's word and is active in community. We said that his peace is different. We talked about how the peace that Christ gives, right? He gives not as the world gives, that his peace isn't conditional. It's not found in satisfying some material need or some material desire or some emotional desire, but that his peace, his shalom, is that peace that transcends all understanding that we see in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Right? So the gift is found in his presence, accessed through Christ, revealed in his word, and active in community. And then we closed off with this thought I left you guys with last week, was that this gift is the kind of gift that you need to abide in, that you need to remain connected to, that you need to actively find, so to speak, every moment of every day, in order for it to be active in your life. So let's expand on that. That's where we want to go today, is how do we experience the gift? How do we care for the gift? And I don't know about you guys. If you guys have anybody here have someone in your family that gives awful gifts? Yeah? Okay, so this story I'm going to share with you guys is okay, because this person, bless her heart, has gone to be with the Lord. And I'm not sure. It's my grandmother. And my grandmother loved to knit. And she loved to make, particularly, she liked to make afghans. There's actually another relative of mine who also likes to make those, yet she's still alive, and I won't mention her name in case she hears this by somehow. And they're just as awful as my grandmother's, unfortunately. So, but my grandmother, I don't know if she was colorblind, if she was just really frugal, and so she just used whatever fabric, whatever yarn she happened to have available. I don't know what it was. But we would get these afghans that really were pretty hideous. But they were from my grandmother. And so what we would do with the afghans is when we got them, of course, we would put them out, and we would take a picture, send to grandma, picture like, hey, it's on our couch, right? And then we would fold it up, put it in a plastic bag, and put it in the attic. And the only other time it would come out is if grandma happened to be coming to visit, which was very rare. So if it happened, the afghans would have to come out. So they would. The gift of shalom is not an awful gift, right? It's a wonderful gift. And we can't treat it, and unfortunately, oftentimes we treat it like it was an awful afghan from grandma, right? We treat it like it was like it's a museum piece. And we get the gift, right? We get this gift from Christ when we put our faith in him, and then we were so happy about it, but then very quickly we find that we tend to sort of emotionally take the gift and fold it up and put it in a nice plastic bag and put it away, right? And it might be, oh, we don't want it, to get damaged or anything. We look at it as a museum piece, right? Or something just for special occasions. We can draw, if it's a special occasion, like something really dramatic's happening in my life, ooh, I gotta pull out the gift of peace. Let's go find where it is. That's not how the gift is to be used, right? It requires action on our part. It requires faith, or rather our faith, to manifest itself in our actions. There's always that, is it faith or is it works? I love James, and James says that, listen, your faith will be manifest or realized, right, or made concrete, made visible through your actions. So it's not that your works are the thing, but your works will demonstrate your faith. And so this requires some action on our part in the gift. And so I want to kind of go through, and this is the passage we've been talking about, is John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So he's given peace. But then he goes on to say, and I'm just going to break this down into its three parts. The first thing is do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful. So do not let. Do not let. That would indicate to us that Jesus seems to think that this is something that we have some ability to control. Because if he's telling us to not let, don't allow, do not allow your hearts to be troubled nor fearful, would indicate to me, and I think any person just to read the text, that I have a decision to allow or not allow. Now, if you go back one verse, you see where that decision power comes from. The verse before, Jesus says, I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And so as a Christian, with the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us, we now have decision power that we didn't have before we made that decision. So now we have a decision to make. Do I allow or do I not allow? So let's go on. What are we allowing or not allowing? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So that's the first thing that we're supposed to not allow, is our hearts to be troubled. And troubled there, Greek, right? Not that I'm a Greek scholar, but I have a computer and I can look this up. Tarasso means specifically to cause one inward commotion, to take away calmness of mind, to render anxious or distress. Right? Jesus is saying, listen, I have given you peace, and I've given you a peace not like the world gives. It's not conditional. It doesn't expire. It's not just here to satisfy some emotional or material need that you have. This is something far different. It transcends understanding. So, because I gave you that, don't allow your heart to be anxious or distressed or lose its calm. Easier said, right? If you're like me, the question that keeps popping up every time you read this, okay, how? How? But we'll get there. So do not allow your heart to be anxious, distressed, or lose its calm. So let's continue. Because do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful. The word fearful there just means timid. Timid. So what Jesus is saying to us, essentially, he's saying, listen, I've given you an amazing gift. Right? I've brought you into God's presence. He says that he became sin for us, that he died for us, that he might carry us, or he might bring us to God. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. You know, you've been allowed to be adopted as sons. Jesus is saying, listen, all of this has been given to you. That peace with God is yours, and it was a gift. Right? You can't do anything to earn it. You couldn't do anything to earn it, and you can't do anything to lose it. It's done. And in addition to that, I've sent my spirit to live in you, to enable you to have peace both within yourself and peace within your relationships. Therefore, this is an expanded version of what Jesus was saying in this passage. Therefore, put the gift to use by not allowing the circumstances of a fallen world, other fallen people, or the enemy of our souls to unsettle you and make you a timid Christian. I want to say that one more time. Do not allow the circumstances of a fallen world, other fallen people, or the enemy of your soul to unsettle you or make you a timid Christian. Because I can tell you guys, if Satan can't have your soul, and he can't if you're in Christ, he will settle for keeping you anxious, fearful, and on the sidelines, while the rest of the lost world perishes in his hand. He'll settle for that because he can't have your soul anymore. But he'll be happy to keep you on the sideline and out of the fight. What Jesus is saying is do not allow that to happen, meaning that it's a choice that we have to make. We have the gift. We need to use the gift. We can't wrap it up in a vacuum-packed bag like Grandma's Afghan and put it in the attic. This is something that needs to be out and used all the time. We have had, past tense, an old Honda Accord that was a daily driver at one point and then became sort of a reserve car and then became one car too many in our driveway and we had to get rid of it. So the car had been sitting for a while and I was like, I'm going to sell the car. And I had somebody coming to, this was pretty amazing. I put it on Facebook Marketplace and literally in like 5 minutes, I had like 20 different offers from people. And I sold it to the first guy. It was amazing. But I ran outside. I'm like, oh, I'm going to sell this car in one day. It's going to be so easy. And I jumped in the car and I turned the key and nothing. Nothing happened. Why? The car had been sitting. The car had been sitting. Now, the battery in the car was not an old battery because I had replaced the battery not that long, maybe a year or so ago, way within the life of the battery. But the car had been sitting for weeks. And the battery had just drained down from not being used. So when you think about the gift of peace, right, when you think about the gift of peace, it has to be used. Caring for it means using it. Caring for it means putting it to use every day, because the more you use it, the stronger it gets. It's very much related to faith. The more you act on your faith, the stronger your faith will get. The more you act on your faith, the more, and acting on your faith means obeying what you find in God's word. The more you obey what you find in God's word, the more you see that God is faithful, the greater your faith becomes. It's just how it works. And peace is a similar thing. As you bring out the gift of peace and as you apply the gift of peace both to you internally and then out towards other people, that peace will grow within you. It builds on itself. But how does it do that? I know we have, Patricia and I were out for a walk yesterday and this came up in the conversation that she's like, well, I want to know practical things. I want to know, like, what are the steps? And my mind doesn't usually go there because I'm like a principle big picture guy. I'm the vision guy. I'm like, well, it's all about your mindset. If you could just change the way you think, your actions will follow on the way that you think. But I recognize that, you know, even the Apostle Paul gives us concrete things to do. He gives us practical things to do. So I want to go through those. How do we do that? How do we make the choice to not allow within our marriage, relationship, within our family relationships, in our workplace, or wherever we happen to be, or even with our relationship with ourselves, how do we not allow our hearts to be unsettled and timid? How do we make that choice? I would say the first thing is this. This is a terrible dad joke, so forgive me. But come on. Dads out there? See, there's one dad laughing. It's like, that's great. Right? The first thing is defragging your heart drive. Right? Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So the first thing we have to understand, in order for us to exercise the gift of peace and to use the gift of peace, the way that that is done is through two simple things. It's through our prayer life, and it's through meditation on God's word. We exercise the gift of peace when we train ourselves to respond to anxious thoughts or fearful thoughts with prayer and with the word of God. Right? We're all trained to respond to outside stimuli in certain ways, right? We've been trained since we were little kids, and we have responded in certain ways to anxiousness. We've responded in certain ways to being treated, or, you know, words that are said to us. We've developed a way that we respond to those, and largely those things become our personality. The way that we respond, the way that we defend ourselves in different circumstances becomes an intricate part of our personality. So these things are not, like, you weren't born with it. It had to be trained into you. And just like it was trained into you, you can train yourself. You know, the scriptures teach us that you can, your mind can be renewed, meaning that the neural pathways in your mind can be changed so that you can respond differently than you do today. So if you think about how do you respond to your spouse, if there's something that happens in your marriage where your spouse says something to you that makes you sense or makes you feel disrespected, right? That can, for me, that's a big one, right? Disrespect, you wanna get right to my heart and get me off balance is show me disrespect, okay? How do I respond to that? Do I allow that to unsettle my heart, right? And then make me timid. So I either, and you know, when you fear something, you do one of two things. Fear causes you to attack or retreat, right? So if I'm caused, if that, what I sense as disrespect coming at me, if I sense that that is a disrespect, I can respond by allowing my heart to become unsettled and become fearful and therefore attack back the other direction, which obviously does not result in shalom. So we need to begin to train our minds to respond to anxious thoughts, fearful thoughts, with prayer and thanksgiving, which is what Scripture tells us to do. And I know a lot of times it's like, oh, come on, really? Take 5 Philippians 4, 6, and 7 and call me in the morning, right? Do not be anxious for anything, but prayer, thanksgiving, a petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, it's easy to say, like, that's flippant, but that's the word of God. So it's really dangerous for us to say, you know, to discard that. Again, the Apostle Paul is essentially repeating what Jesus was saying, is that this is a choice. Don't allow it. Allow the peace that is yours in Christ to dictate how you respond in certain situations. So how do you do that? It's through practice. It's through reminding yourself. I would even say, for those of you that are super practical and are looking for, like, okay, what do I do? I would say one of the things that I've done is I have a list. I have a list of scripture passages that remind me, sort of my greatest hits of scripture passages that encourage my heart, that remind me of who God is, that remind me of who I am in Christ, that remind me of God's promises. And so that when I am hit with something that normally would unsettle my heart or cause me to be fearful, the first thing that pops to my mind is the Word of God. Right? So if you think about it this way, and this is not in my notes, if I pour, you know, a bunch of orange juice in a cup, and then I come and someone comes along and knocks my cup, just shakes my cup, what's going to come out of my cup? It's going to be orange juice. Right? What I put into the cup is what's going to come out when you hit the cup. And so if I train myself through meditating on God's word and remembering to respond that way, instead of being unsettled and fearful, over time, that will become more natural and will become easier because that pathway, that response pathway, now is becoming changed. Ooh, that was fun. Good. Keep everybody awake.
See what comes out.
See that? And, you know, so have that list. Pull it out. Every time that you are hit with an anxious thought, a fearful thought, or you are getting that, you know, somebody in the world, another broken person or another broken circumstance is causing you to begin to feel unsettled or fearful, stop and pull that list out. And meditate on that list. Pray through the list. And over time, that'll become easier and easier as your mind is renewed in God's word. You keep him, Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So that's a good project for you guys to do individually, or a good project for you to do as a couple. It's to sit down as a couple and say, well, what are our greatest hits? What are those verses? What are those passages of scripture that are going to remind us of God's goodness, that are going to strengthen our hearts rather than causing our hearts to be timid or unsettled? Because of what Jesus did, we now have that ability to come boldly before the throne of grace and seek mercy in our time of need. That's ours. We don't need to ask for it again. We just need to take advantage of it and use it. So that inner peace then should cascade down and out into your other relationships and then every environment that you enter into. Right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Specifically, the peacemakers will be called sons of God. That's interesting. And I have to tell you, I don't know how many of you guys, maybe you can share it at your tables, how many of you guys have ever been used by God to bring peace into a situation where there was no peace? And the amazing feeling that is to see God use you to bring peace out of chaos. And I think the reason it is such an amazing feeling is because in that moment, we individually or as a couple we are living within the will of God for us as his children. So as you think about, okay, how do I be a peacemaker? How can I do that? This is like a study we could go weeks and weeks. So I'm going to give you a couple things, a couple questions, peace-bringing questions or shalom-bringing questions that you can answer whenever you find yourself in that situation of a lack of shalom, a lack of peace. And these are mindset questions. Remember I said if we set our mind, or in Colossians, right, we're told set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. So when we set our mind or we have a different mindset, we're able to bring God's perspective into situations. So here's the questions. The first one is just, what would most glorify God in this situation? In this situation that I'm in right now, what could I do, what could I say that would bring the most glory to God? Not what would make me feel better, not what would make me feel like I've won, not what would maybe get the result that I want on the other side or manipulate something. Forget all that. What would glorify God? What would glorify God? How can I most glorify God in my response to my spouse right now? Even if my spouse is doing something to me, or I perceive it anyway, that is not very glorifying to God, how can I respond to him or her in a way that does glorify God? Just those two questions, right? 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you go back one verse in verse 17, is another famous verse. It said, those of us that are in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. Right? We've been defragmented, or are being defragmented. And now our call, because we've been given that same, Jesus reconciled us to God, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, which means that we are to take that message out, beginning in our home, and we're to proclaim this good news, that shalom with God, that shalom within ourselves, that shalom within our relationships, our marriage, our family, our friends, our work colleagues, our community, that's possible in Christ. And then we need to help other people find find the gift. We need to help other people find the gift. And as we do that, just like the car battery, as we are peace bringers, just like the car battery example, that peace within us will grow all the stronger. It'll be recharged and re-energized so that we can continue on doing the thing that God has called us to do. So, kind of closing, we're doing on time, we're doing great on time. We're going to have plenty of time to talk. As we head into this season, right, where we are commemorating the Prince of Peace, I would love for us to get into the habit of asking ourselves periodically, am I a peacemaker? Am I a shalom bringer in this situation? Am I bringing that into my home? Am I bringing that into my marriage, into my workplace, in my church? Am I ready, as Scripture says, to give a reason for the hope that's in me? Am I ready to share with people the peace that I have with God, within myself and with others, and why? So my prayer for us is this, Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue, again, there's an action on our part. Let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Our prayer for ourselves should be, you know, Lord, help me set my mind on the Spirit every day and in every circumstance. Because as we learn, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. It's life and peace. So we know about the gift. We know where to find the gift. We know how to receive the gift. And now we need to apply that gift to every area of our lives. I want to read from Ephesians 6:14 through 17 as we close. So it's what it says. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put aside the breastplate of the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. To take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I do pray for us that we all enjoy the gift of the gospel of peace this Christmas and throughout the year, and that the things that we've talked about over the last 3 weeks would be brought to your memory, and that the peace of Christ would rule in your hearts, in our hearts, and in our homes, and just to know and be certain that the gift of shalom will transform your marriage, will transform your family. Amen? So we've got some discussion questions on your table, and we've got plenty of time to discuss them. So have at it.